Psalm number 145. I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Our generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the night of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fail and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look expectantly to you, and you give them their food. In due season, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Praise him. Psalm chapter 145. And in verse 3 he says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. What do you think the lesson's going to be on tonight? Yeah. We're going to talk about praising the Lord as best that I can. There is nothing that I could do or say that could possibly come close to what the psalmists have already written. Reading the Psalms is such a fantastic and powerful way to be able to learn to praise God in spirit and truth. And our lesson tonight is simply praise the Lord. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, and in verse 26, Joel states, "And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." What do you think about that? The book of Psalm exhorts all the saints from the past in the Old Testament under the old law, and it exhorts all of us who are under the law of Christ to find in them food for the soul. That's what we're looking for tonight. Reason for breathing out praises to our great God. The Psalms are uniquely written in such a way as to be able to take the load off of our mind, to take the weight off of our shoulders. We all need that. I want you to think of the United Negro College Fund advertisement slogan. You may be familiar with this: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And I would say to you, every Christian, that the Psalms are a terrible thing to waste. Everyone should be reading these Psalms. Remember that they are the product of the Lord's mind, the Master's mind, the Creator's mind. They're the product of God. Remember that in them the saints will find what I would call common sense victory over our life's troubles. They offer a multitude of reasons for praising God. For some, perhaps, one reason for poor attendance in worship sometimes is in the services is because they don't consider why men should spend as much time as possible praising God. Well, I want you to consider just five things. Number one is His attributes. The attributes of God. Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9. Now, I want you to think about something. All of you ladies out there that have had husbands or have husbands, when you think about a husband, wouldn't you like somebody that's gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy? Somebody like that? Somebody who would deal wondrously with you? And the people shall, and you'll never be ashamed of him? Wouldn't that make a great husband? And husbands, you think about wives in the same way. And we don't have a problem as human beings thinking about human beings having these kind of characteristics and putting somebody up on a pedestal. But what about God? The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Every one of us at this point, we need to realize something. This is the character of God. Those are the attributes that are assigned to the Creator. And every one of us at this point of our first sin, or at the point of our first sin, every one of us would have been instantly destroyed if God lacked these attributes. Because of sin. Think about Leviticus chapter 10, 1 through 3. Disobeying God back then, Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire to the Lord. And what happened? Fire came down out of heaven and consumed them. In this day and age, we have something extremely valuable from God. Thanks be to God, because He's gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, great in mercy, and has extended His grace in an unmerited favor towards each one of us. And we don't want to forget that. We don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. He is slow to anger. I don't deserve that. He should be really mad at me. We have been given something great. You know what we've been given? And we can praise God for this. Right now, we should be praising God. He gave us time. You know, He invented time. Without God, time doesn't exist. In heaven, there's no such thing as time. He gave each and every one of us here time. He gave everybody in the world time. He gave us time. Time for what? Time to repent. Time to learn. Time to come to Him. Even Jesus knew time could be short, though. And I don't want to insinuate somehow that don't worry about God because you got all kinds of time. You don't have time. You should be praising God now because of those great attributes. You don't have time. In John chapter 9 and in verse 4, Jesus makes it very clear, even Himself, that I must work the works of Him who sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. God gave us time. But each one of us, that time is limited. That time could be gone tonight, tomorrow, next year, we don't know. Think about what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and in verse 10. He tells us, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. There is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. You don't have all the time in the world. But God has allotted each one of us enough time to come to Him and to learn about Him, to learn about His mercy and His great compassion and His graciousness. He's given you time to do that. And you should be doing that, and you should be praising God because He's done that. He's given us time to repent because of God's good nature. You think about the nature of God. We have time to learn to love Him. We have time to learn and serve Him. When we do, we have hope. Hope of salvation. He's given us that. And the Psalms, they teach us something very powerful. They teach us that we should by all means bow down before God in thanksgiving. And that word's going to come up later, thanksgiving. And I want you to think about that. I want that in the back of your head. Praise God because He's done all these things. Praise God because what He has done lifts us up. Praise His name because He's righteous, because He's wonderful, and because of His wonderful attributes. That's one reason to praise God. You know, the second reason is His work in creation. You think about that. Psalm chapter 104. Go back to Psalm 104. Psalm 104, you know, it's a rather long psalm. There's 35 verses, but we're just going to kind of look at this and examine it. I should praise God because of what He's done in creation. For the Lord, look at that, He laid the foundation of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. He covered it with the deep as a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. The Lord did that. Verse 5, by the way. 104, verse 5. That's what He did. He laid the foundations of the earth. Can you do that? Think of the greatest person you've ever met in your life. Somebody who's influenced you in the greatest of ways. Somebody who you would just raise up on a... Can they do that? No, we praise God because He alone can do what He did. He covered the deep as if it were a garment. Wow. And as we think this through, at His rebuke, the waters, they fled from the mountains. Look at verse 24 and verse 25. O Lord, how manifold are Your works in wisdom. You have made them all. The earth is full of Your possessions. This great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great. Did you hear that? In the sea, these innumerable things, both small and great. You know, I have a challenge for you. Starting tonight until next Sunday night, I want you to invent 10 brand new things. Things that nobody's ever seen before. Make them from scratch. Make them work perfectly. Can you do that? What if I gave you 10 weeks? Some of us maybe 10 years. God did it like that. God said, let the oceans or the seas be teeming, as this says, with all kinds of things. Imagine all the multitudes of things in the ocean, every one of them perfectly designed, perfectly working, just as God said. You praise God for that kind of greatness. Wow, I'm thinking of this challenge. Here's another challenge. I want you to make something with what I have in my hands right now. Can you do it? He did. You want to praise God? Praise Him for that. He took nothing and made everything that you see today. He made your children. He made your children's children. What a joy. What a reason to praise God. He made you. What a reason to praise God. His work in creation is amazing. Mold a piece of clay and get some dirt from the ground and mold it into an image. Put it up to your mouth and blow some air into it and make it come alive. Can you do that? No, because we don't deserve the praise. He deserves the praise. He deserves the praise. We have to praise Him for His work of creation because no one else could have possibly done what He did do. And in all the confusion in the world today, and it's not really confusion, it's evil men with corrupt minds trying to deceive the world so that they turn their backs upon God, training little children that there's no such thing as God, training little children that science somehow usurps or overpowers the Bible. And if you took a few minutes, you'd realize science is just another form of faith. You're going to believe the scientists who don't have an answer for how things came into being? An honest scientist says, I don't know. We just know there was nothing and then there was something. Guess what? God did it. It's just a form of faith, but they want you to believe something anti the us, against God. Thirdly, His work in sustaining what He's made. You know, you set up a factory somewhere with 1,000 workers like a Ford company or something, and somebody has to maintain all that. Does one man do that? Are you familiar with companies with big manufacturing and lots of employees? There isn't any one man that does that. There's a hierarchy of people. It takes a lot of people to run a big manufacturing company. It only takes one God to run the world. Praise Him. Give Him all the glory. There isn't anybody like Him. Look at Psalm 147 with me. Psalm 147, verse 7 and 9. What's it say there? Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow in the mountains. He gives the beasts its food and the young ravens that cry. God does that. God does that. By reading the Psalms, we can look beyond the secondary causes of nature, and we can see our Creator as Him who sustains the whole world. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. By looking at the things that are made, we can see God's eternal power and Godhead by seeing all the things that He made. And then if we're smart, we praise Him. Because You can trust Me. You can't make something from nothing. He did. And there isn't a scientist worth his salt that will tell you differently. Not one. They will tell you they don't know if they're worth their salt. They will tell you they don't believe it was God if they're worth their salt. But they also will tell you that there is no way you can make something from nothing. It happened. We don't know how. He did it. Praise Him. Praise Him. You know, we can see our Creator. Look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. We know by the Scriptures that God alone is upholding all things by the word of His power. And we can praise Him for that, can't we? He's holding everything together. If God were to remove His hands, it would all fall apart. It's like one of those big puzzles or something that you're holding it together, trying to get it to the table, and you move a little bit and it all falls apart. Doesn't happen with God unless He so chooses. And one day He will. In Colossians verse 1, or chapter 1 and verse 17, we also know that in Him all things consist. Everything exists because of God. God, now listen to me, God is not in all things. Don't go out and start hugging trees because of what Brother Dave said. I said all things exist in Him, not Him in all things. They all belong to Him. And by His powerful hand they exist. And we should be praising God for that. That all-powerful reason that the 24 elders who praise God in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power," they say. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. These things, these reasons that we've already shown you, these three things are reasons to praise God. They're sufficient. What more do we need? He created everything. He sustains all things. He is wonderful and merciful. Praise Him. Praise Him in your heart. Praise Him with your voice. Praise Him in song. Praise Him in prayer. Just praise Him. But you know, in my opening statement, I said that in the Psalms there are a multitude of reasons for offering praise to God. And that's true. And I couldn't list them all without reading the entire book. You have time for that? I couldn't do it. I'd have to read at least the entire book of Psalms. And I can't do it. But for the sake of the lesson, here's two more. His work in redemption. His redemption. You know, the angels around the throne of God. In Revelation chapter 5 and in verse 12. The angels are around this throne of God, and with a loud voice they're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings." Praise Him. Jesus, the Lamb. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus, who came down from the glories of heaven, walked among us, suffered, persecuted, died on a cross, horrible, laid in the ground 3 days, rose from the grave, showed Himself to many, rose up into heaven, sits on the right hand of God Almighty now, and praise Him because He overcame death. He's overpowered the devil. He's a victorious over the devil. And He did it all for you. Why wouldn't you praise Him for that? He did it. When we consider the hand of the Lord, His work in human redemption, you know, we should be, know, we must be motivated to praise Him. Give Him the glory. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Don't miss the point. God gave everything for you. He's done all these other things in preparation for you, and He gave everything for you. Not only so that you could praise Him, but one day you would be in heaven with Him. What do we say to that? Praise Him. Praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. You remember the song? For our sins He suffered, bled, and died. He, our rock, our hope, our eternal salvation. Hail Him, hail Him, hail Him. Jesus the Crucified. We need that. His love for mankind caused Him to sacrifice His only begotten Son in order that mankind, you and me as individuals, can be redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. He did that. You know, again, I ask, do we need another reason? Couldn't we just stop here and say, praise Him? We need to praise Him. But there's just one more reason for praising Him, and that's His concern. Genuine, deep, authentic, eternal concern for you and me, for me and you. Psalm 138, if you'll turn there with me. Psalm number 138, and verse 3. We'll read down to verse 3 from verse 1. That'll give you time to get there. I like to hear those pages. I will praise You with my whole heart. You know, what's the point of the lesson? Before the gods, I will sing praise to You. I will worship towards Your holy temple and praise Your name for Your loving kindness and Your truth For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. God does that. You know, that was kind of the opening theme here. You just read the Psalms, you read these things, and they strengthen you, they uphold you, they build you up, they help you to come to that perfect understanding that God needs to be praised because of all the great things that God has done. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. You know, we find in this several reasons for praising the Lord. Look at verse 6. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them. That's a reason to praise him. He delivered them. You know, you think of a soldier in battle in some POW in a camp somewhere, and these wonderful soldiers, they go in, risk their lives, they save the man, they bring him out. You think they're not being praised for that? Sure they are. But God saves you eternally. He's saving your soul. Not the flesh, but your soul. And he did that by dying in the flesh. And they praised him. That was verse 6. The psalmists go on there and read in verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. And I want you to think about, remember I said we'd come up with thanks again, and here it is. And we're still got more to, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Just be thankful for what he's done. You know, that's one of the first steps to faith. For his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing of the soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Everybody, and I don't care how hard you are, even those who have hardened hearts, there's some place in you that says, you know what? I really do need God. You know what? I really should repent. You know what? I've heard this many, many times, and I know I should do it, but there's always that empty place. There's always the but. There's the answer. Just thank God. Start by thanking God for his wonderful goodness. You know, just the idea that the Creator of heaven, eternal. He's eternal. The Creator is powerful. He's omniscient. Omnipresent, omnipotent. He's God. And he's aware, you know, I just described something way beyond comprehension. A God that knows everything, has all power, and is eternal. The only true living God. And listen to what we're going to say here. That God. God. He's aware of my needs. He knows what hurts in here. He knows what's wrong with me. And he cares. That's our God. There isn't anybody like that. You meet people all the time. You know, you walk into an assembly like this on Sunday and you see these beautiful plants, but they're fake. Aren't they? I mean, they're fake. They're neat looking, but they're fake. Sometimes we come to the worship service like these plants. You walk in the door, how you doing, brother? I'm doing great. When the truth is, we should all, what this really is here, is like a spiritual emergency room. That's what this is. We're not all that great. We're not. We're broken. We're bruised up. We're cut. We need help, and we need help from God. I don't care who you are. They're fake. We need to be real. You know, are you following this? The God, this awesome, amazing, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, powerful, eternal God. He is perfectly aware of my personal needs, your personal needs, and it staggers the imagination. Yet this was emphasized by Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 12 and verses 6 and 7. Luke 12, 6 and 7. We see here, again, this is Jesus. Here's what he says. Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and one of them is, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Not one. Now we're talking about a sparrow. You know how many there are, right? Billions and billions of those things all over the place. A sparrow. Five of them get sold. God knows all of them. And he doesn't forget one single one. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That's how well God knows you. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Praise him. Because that's what he thinks about you. God knows you. If God watches over the sparrows and not one of them ever goes unnoticed, not one is ever forgotten, he surely watches over me because, according to the Lord, you are of much greater value than any bird on the earth. Praise God that he is aware of your needs, that he hears me, he hears you, he hears us every time we call upon him. So call upon him and praise him. Because you know he's going to answer your prayer. You know he knows you better than you know yourself. I want you to read two Psalms with me. Back to 56, 8, and 9. We read this morning. And I just want to go back. It's worth reading more than once. Psalm 56, 8. You number my wanderings. You know exactly where I'm going, what I'm doing, my life. You know my thoughts before I think them, right? God numbers our wanderings. You put my tears into your bottle, and are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know. Why? Because God is for me. If God is for me, who can be against me? Praise him, because the creator, the power, the eternal Godhead, he knows you, he numbers your steps, and he loves you. And he stores up your tears in a bottle, and he writes them down in a book. You have children, some of you. Do you write down everything they do in a book? Can you remember every time they cried? Do you know every hurt that they have? Every bump and every bruise? Even the loving parent can't do that. But God can, and God does. Praise him. Certainly. Praise him. If God watches over the sparrow, man. Let's look at another one. Psalm 6. Psalm 6, verse 6. I am weary with my groanings all night. I make my bed to swim. I drench my couch with tears. My eyes waste away because of grief. Anybody relate to that? I have been able to relate to that. We talked this morning about the wonderful tears that God has blessed us with. How powerful they are. They're not a waste. Your tears aren't a waste. Remember, He stores them up in bottles. When you weep bitterly and your couch is drenched with your tears, look at verse 7. My eyes waste away because of grief. It sorrows old because of all my enemies. Verse 8. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplications. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly, because I'm not going to be, because I have God on my side. Praise God for what He's able to do. We've only looked at 5 out of thousands of phrases and verses out of the Psalms, 5 reasons out of thousands that but these alone constrain me to lift up my voice to praise God, period. And because He cares. He cares enough for me to hear me when I'm not worthy. My prayers are heard when I'm not worthy. And He answers my prayers when I'm not worthy. He lifts me up when I can't get up. My God is God who hears all those things. He hears the prayers of the righteous, Psalm 65:2. And as we close out our thoughts, I'm just compelled to bring to you something that I think is very important, even though maybe it's of a negative nature. The sin of ingratitude. Underline unthankfulness. I want to be really serious right here. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord for me to write the same things to you. I'm in the wrong book. Hang in there. My little markers here. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Underline. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Oh, man. Ingratitude. You know what we've just done in whatever time we've been talking about God. And reasons to praise Him, reasons to give Him glory, reasons to come to Him, to give ourselves over to Him, to repent of sin, to turn away from these things. And somewhere, in some way, there are people whose hearts are just filled with ingratitude. They know what God can do. They know what God has done. And they can see these things. You see God's power and eternal Godhead by the things that are made. There is no secret. There is no mystery. Why would you be filled with ingratitude of all the things Paul listed here? The one characteristic of godless world that stands out most to me are people who have become unthankful to their Creator God. I want you to mull this over with me for just a second. Mull it over. You think about it. Everything that God's done. This Creator, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, out of love sent His Son to die on a cross. And His Son is a real Son. It's not some fictitious story. We're not talking about the Easter Bunny. We're not talking about Moby Dick. We're talking about Jesus, a man that in history there isn't anybody who denies that He existed. We would be fools to say He didn't exist. And we're unthankful when we realize that that's true. Why wouldn't I believe Him? Mull it over. Merriam-Webster say about unthankfulness or ingratitude, not giving thanks, unappreciative. I don't care what God's done. Merriam-Webster goes on, you know, there's so much, there's more, much more. You think of the Greek word and what that Greek word means. It comes from two words, a, which means not or negative, and charizomai, which means experiencing grace. You know what that means? Without God's grace, without God's favor, which results in unthankfulness, ingratitude, literally ungraced. Praise Him. To me, that's in my opinion, an unthankful person, male or female, is one who consumes daily all the things that God has provided, not just the air you breathe, the water that you drink, the food that you eat, the clothing on your back, the house that you have, everything. And they never say thank you. They never say praise you. You know, I've been a victim of that many, many times, and I'm not complaining. You take somebody out for a fine lunch or a fine dinner time after time after time, and you never hear the words thanks. They just eat it and run. And that's exactly what you're doing to God. To touch, or the touch of ingratitude turns most people off. It turns me off. After a while, I'm thinking, I'm not going to buy this guy lunch anymore. To the extent that there's just no further desire to be with that person. This is ingratitude. But it is so much worse when you make the recipient of it, or the one who should be the recipient, who is God, and you just can't be thankful. Our Lord Jesus Christ can't be thankful. Such ingratitude. We consume all of His blessings. We consume all of His gifts. We consume all of His time that He's allotted us without pausing long enough to acknowledge the giver of all the gifts and say thank you. You know, there's some people, the hour of worship becomes a burden. You know that? We all know that. There are people who aren't going to be here Wednesday, aren't here every Sunday and Sunday evening. The church gathers together, but they're not here. Ingratitude. It's too much of my time. You know, I read something on the internet tonight that I'd like to turn into a sermon. It said that if you want to lose weight, right? I'm a little overweight. You know how to lose weight? You correlate your eating food with your studying the Bible. Think about it. Many people would lose a lot of weight. Ingratitude. And that's proven by their regular absence in the worship service. Worse, some resent being blessed with the gospel, with the good news, with the message. It somehow is an offense. Some get foolishly filled with ingratitude and they turn away from Him. They turn their backs to God. And it doesn't make sense because God's many gifts towards mankind, they're all free right now. All men should assemble to offer praise to God as often as the doors are open. And we should lift our voices in praise to our wonderful God. Praise Him from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Will you join tonight in praising Him? We have a song of invitation. And I hope that ingratitude doesn't keep you from accepting the invitation of God. If you have any need whatsoever, whatever it is, if you want to talk, if you want to repent, if you want to be restored, if you want to be baptized, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.